Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 116 of the podcast. Today we bring you a nutrition-based episode. Division 1 nutrition. What does that look like? How does Doyle implement that for the Iowa Hawkeyes? What were our personal experiences with eating and food while we were playing? All of these questions answered and more right now. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, episode 116 of the podcast, day whatever of Corona Chronicles. I look terrible, but I'm going to the barbershop tomorrow, getting cleaned up. Corona Chronicles are kind of over for me. I'm really over this shit. And because this Corona thing is going on and there's nothing going on in the world, we're really running out of things to talk about. So we decided that something that we might have from information that other people are looking for their young athletes or maybe young athletes that are listening to this podcast right now. We feel like we have some pretty good nutrition information and things that we can do to help maybe squash the misconceptions that you guys have when it comes to nutrition and nutrition performance in particular. So I think Kluber might have some questions and some stuff geared up. He's a pretty big nutrition head, but we just got three guys who, I don't know, did a lot of meathead shit early and learned how to do things the right way later. And we're trying to share that information. So here we go.
I think this could, well, before we get into this, for those watching on the YouTube version.
Gosh, I keep forgetting that we put these out on YouTube.
Yeah, just, dude, and you got your wiener out.
Okay.
For all the girls listening.
Yeah, for all of the 40 plus age women listening, Kevin is just, his biceps out. He's rocking a little bit of a farmer's tan.
Kevin's hogged out right now.
And who knows what's beneath the covers, but he's in bed. It was a long day for the ward. And why did we never call you the warden? Like, that would have been a good nickname.
It's a bad nickname.
No, I'm good. Okay. I'm gonna put an X through that one.
Okay, fair enough. A long day for you. Not a long day for me or Drake. Drake, you do not look the best you've ever looked before. You've looked,
yeah, much, but this beard is by far the fullest it's ever been.
It's the fullest and the longest your beard's ever been. You look like a
You kind of have Josie's Amish beard, like his freshman year.
A little bit.
It's a bad beard. I'm not trying to claim it's a good one, but does it's the best I've ever had.
Does the mustache connect to the beard, or do you?
It did. So my lips were getting real chapped, though. I trimmed the mustache about a week ago because, like, it was all cool until my lips got chapped, and then it just absolutely wasn't cool anymore, and I trimmed the mustache.
Okay. Sounds good. You look a little bit like terrorist. Anyway.
Akbar.
La 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 la. I don't look great either. I look like a gremlin. I've got the wash up. I'm repping at least, but I've got the wash up walk-ons hoodie cinched around my face as much as I can. For those that wonder when I finally grow a sack enough to shave my head, this is what I will look like.
You kind of look like a penis, dude.
Wow.
What was that?
I don't know. That's unfair. That's just not fair. We're going to talk about nutrition. So, we have this weird kind of dynamic between the three of us where we all essentially took, especially for the last 3 years of our college career, we were all in the same classes. Kevin and I
did our own tests, and Kluver only did part of his.
Right. Oh, Kevin's got his nutrition for sport and exercise textbook, and that doesn't surprise me in the least.
And for those
watching, bought it, man. What am I gonna do with it?
Or for those not watching on YouTube, his ass was just out.
Is it out?
Yeah.
Good.
Nah.
I'll have to check it.
Sounds like fake news.
It could be fake news. So we have this weird dynamic where we were in a position of, you know, the elite of the elite. I guess if you want to go towards the pro level, it gets even, you know, especially in certain sports, it gets even more detailed and more strict with nutrition. But you guys as fans know the story. You know the program. It's the most developmental program in the country. We don't have to talk about how it is because we've already done that at length. But what makes it the most developmental program in the country? Well, a huge part of that happens to be the fact that this man, Chris Doyle, knows how to take a 240-pound Ike Butker and turn him into a 315-pound Ike Butker in a matter of 2 years, mm-hmm. three. Not, sometimes, you know, Cole Crosston, same story, 235, 240. I think you could probably get the exact numbers if you go back to the podcast he did with us. Wow. Performance nutrition, Hawkeye football. Kevin.
You really are a wealth of information, Kevin.
Yeah.
I like to reference back to stuff every now and then.
Sure.
Reference back all the way to what, 2013?
Yeah, that was a.
Oh, there's no date on this one, but.
I think we got that.
No. See, it's got pictures from the new complex. This is 2014 at the earliest.
Okay. Well, so we were in this position as players where we all had to have kind of a journey and a relationship with food that meant a lot to our daily life. Food is obviously something that all of you listening also have a relationship with. Drake said in the intro, maybe some of you guys who are listening are young athletes, which, God, don't listen to us because – but maybe you listen to us for this podcast.
You should listen to us for this podcast in particular.
Drake, Kevin, and I all came into the University of Iowa looking vastly different and probably with a lot, much different views on what nutrition meant and how it played a factor in our lives. So one of the things we want to do, really there's three things we want to do in this podcast. We want to talk about how we each thought about nutrition kind of coming into Iowa and what Iowa helped us with and how we think about it now. And kind of our, I guess, maybe a short kind of Cliff Notes version of what it did for us while we were there, what Doyle did for us. Drake had a good idea to kind of debunk some common nutrition myths, if we can kind of come up with some of those off the top of our head, some big kind of concepts that people truly believe in.
Like, here's one in particular that I was thinking of is like, I've been asked so many times by younger kids, from Muscatine in particular, like, how do you gain weight? Like, I'm struggling to gain weight. Like, that's every football player's biggest issue when they're younger is, like, that's all they're concerned with is getting to a certain number, this, that, and the other. And, like, you just want to do it in healthy ways. And I figured that was one big pathway that we could go down for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the third thing we want to do is as we sat here, because we planned this episode for you guys listening, this episode actually came out on Thursday. I told y'all that we weren't going to have an episode. Then we said, fuck it, we're doing an episode. So I guess we're just over-delivering after under promising. And
which is actually the way to do it in life. You under-promise, over-deliver, and you look like you look great all the
right.
time.
It's kind of what I've been it's really a life motto for me. I just, my physical representation of what I am really under promises. Kevin, on the other hand, Kevin is always, you know, 12 years running physique champ. Kevin, he came in, actually, you know what? Both of you guys came in looking pretty incredible, looking really good. You guys weren't heavy by any means, not, you know, Big Ten weight. I would love to know how you guys kind of thought about nutrition in high school, and because the long snapper didn't quite get the memo that y'all were on when we were teenagers.
You want me to go, Kev? You can
go. You go ahead. Go ahead.
All right. So, like, when I was a kid, I was a big weight room junkie, but I didn't know what proper programming was. I'm not necessarily confident that early on in my high school career, at least, we had a very good strength conditioning program at all. It was just kind of like, you got to push yourself hard and you got out of it what you got out of it. And then we had a new coach come in that got a little better, and now their strength conditioning program at Muscatine is actually pretty good. But I was a big meathead, bench press, do all this upper body bullshit, which actually isn't that important. And I didn't work nearly enough on flexibility, none of that. And that was a big thing with, like, getting hurt. So that's a total tangent, but just weight room related, being flexible is way more important than being strong. Being fast is way more important than being strong. And if you can be fast and flexible, you will get strong over time. But to go back to nutrition, I just thought it was like, eat as much as possible. It didn't really matter what it was. Drink the protein shakes, blah, blah, blah. But, like, I ate a lot of junk food, and I didn't have a good diet in high school. Like, my diet consisted of, like, frozen dinners. If my mom made dinner, that was great. But otherwise, I was eating out, eating pizzas, that kind of stuff. I don't know.
I was just going to say, pizza was probably a common for you.
Yeah, I ate a lot. Me and my dad loved pizza, man. And I'll tell you what, me and my pops also loved frozen dinners. The amount of frozen dinners me and my pops ate on the weekends is unbelievable. Because Salisbury steak, mashed potatoes and gravy, and green beans with a little brownie on the side, dude, hungry man made their dime off of me and my pops.
Kevin, I think just before we get into you, I think we kind of have talked about how, and obviously Beef was on here. We can assume that Beef didn't let you ever go hungry.
No, we ate pretty well in the Ward household.
Right, right.
They drank 7 gallons of milk a week.
You guys averaged a gallon a day?
Yeah. So back when Patrick was still in the house, so that would have been his senior year, I would have been in eighth grade. Ryan would have been a freshman in high school. We were getting 7 gallons of milk delivered a week. Yeah, it'd be 6 gallons of white milk and then a gallon of chocolate milk a week.
That is obscene, right? That's literally how you make just a big farm raised, strong ass kid.
I was gonna say, I think that's a really good starting point. Milk is like, I feel like it's so easy. Like, it's something every household in America has. Everyone's got milk. Everyone buys milk. And, like,
people,
you hear this
on milk these days, man.
My mom had me on milk crazy.
Oh, dude.
I love milk so much.
Oh, it's so good. And when you grow, at least when we were growing up, kind of once you got into, like, the middle school, younger high school area, you all you heard was, like, oh, milk is good. It's like a good post-workout. It's got protein in it. Like it's good for athletes. Like it helps build strong bones is the, you know,
chocolate milk. Yeah. I was just right. Drink chocolate milk.
Yeah. That's and, right. But Kevin, you can keep going.
Oh, I mean, I was just going to say, I was kind of like a weight room junkie, kind of like Drake, you know, didn't really know what I was doing in the weight room. I knew how to bench press. I knew how to deadlift. I knew how to hang. Well, I did exact. My hang clean technique was dog shit looking.
Dog shit. Kind of. All of us, man. All of us.
But, you know, just kind of hung around the weight room a lot. Our program wasn't great. They did have a program. I mean, I'll give our high school that. It wasn't great. Senior year after football ended, I started working with a different trainer and started doing some of that. But, you know, nutrition-wise, I was always like a really skinny kid growing up. And, you know, I had a super fast metabolism. So it was just always eat as much as you want, yeah, whenever you want.
Yeah.
But we did eat pretty clean. My parents usually had a home-cooked meal. I would say at least 5 nights a week. So, you know, I ate a lot. You know, I'd say I did eat a ton of desserts, but, you know, again, I was a kid with a super fast metabolism. I couldn't,
yeah,
you know, I was shitting it out before it went anywhere on my body.
I think that's, and it goes back to Drake's point. I have so many kids, especially now that I'm doing the fitness fucking, shirt off on Instagram thing every other day, which I despise myself for it.
You are literally one of those Instagram whores.
I'm one of those. I'm that person. I turn into that person because it's all I'm good for. it's like that girl in college who like drops out right around the midway point of her second year. She's like, fuck, I can't do it. I'm just gonna go strip.
Who are you talking about right now, Kluwer? Who do you have in mind? Don't say the name.
Just like your common story. Like you drop out of school to be a stripper. I don't have any guy
personally. I didn't even realize that we knew someone like that, Drake.
Do we know someone like that?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. We know a wide variety of women, so I don't mean that in a bad way either. I'm just saying you meet a lot of people. God, we suck. Okay. I get all these kids that ask me, you know, like, you know, they're in high school, they're 15, they're 16, how do you gain weight? I get a lot of that too. For me in high school, unlike you two, I hit that puberty stage early, and puberty is a crazy time. It would be insane to actually do a scientific like test on how many calories like Kevin, you or Drake were burning during your teenage years when you were still growing.
Yeah. That's what I was going to start with in our conversation was like, you have to somehow be able to estimate what your energy output is because,
which is just insane.
Which is insane when you're a kid that's growing because when parents talk about like, oh yeah, he's eating a lot, he's a growing boy. Like that's a real thing. Your body is just blowing through the calories. So if you're a skinny kid and that's just like, man, I'm working hard, you know, I'm trying to push myself. I feel like I'm getting stronger, but I just don't see the results on the scale. You just gotta do more. Like your parents, you're just gonna have to put more food in the pantry because you have to eat it. Like you can supplement with the high calorie protein shakes and stuff. But like Doyle says, there's nothing that can substitute the whole food. Mm-hmm. Like you just gotta get the best whole food you can in your system.
Dude, I just remember being hungry all the time back in high school.
Yeah, well, I'm
still pretty hungry most of the time these days. But, you know, like I remember my dad would pack my lunch, and he would make sandwiches with more meat on there than bread. Like, oh, yeah. You know those, like, Oscar Mayer packages of lunch meat?
He'd take a whole package.
He'd take, like, a whole package and put it out there. Yeah. God bless him. But, you know, I would finish my lunch, and, you know, there's a bunch of other stuff in there, and I'd be, like, still kind of hungry.
Yeah.
Go into the lunch line and buy whatever the entree is.
Yeah.
That sounds like the most Kevin Ward move of all time.
So similar. I was also very hungry in high school. It showed a lot more in me. I'll say this. The genetics definitely play a role when it comes to this. Like there's so many factors. So
100%.
So for a guy like Kevin is actually Kevin and Drake both.
I come from two slender parents, man.
Right.
All slender parents.
Like, I have to imagine, like, let's get specific here. I think if I had to guess, at minimum, you guys, when you were growing in high school while doing sports, you know, 3-4 sport athletes, minimum, you guys are burning 3,500 calories a day. It was probably 4,000. It was probably 4,000.
But we just don't know how to estimate what the growing factor is.
Right. Because that puberty variable is insanity. So when kids think they're eating enough, like you eat, like it does get to a point where, you know,
it's obnoxious. My dad used to call it a job, and it really was.
Like if you want to eat, you damn near have to eat ice cream every night. Like you have to be eating some high sugar things or
drinking those Guinness
or like 12 avocados or something, just like something with a ton of fat. So yeah. For those that don't know, in general, the three macronutrients of protein, carbs, and fat has 9 calories per gram of fat. Protein and carbs have 4 grams. So if you're looking for something that's dense, that's why for a long, long time, fat was like the devil, or because it just has more calories per gram. Mm-hmm. Now, in reality, the obesity problem in America and why people are actually fat tends to be more along, it tends to be more along the carb line. You know, there's certain kinds of fat that you want to watch as well. But I mean, you just have to eat so much. Like you think you're full. If you're a high school kid listening right now, you think you're full. You probably just hit the amount of calories that you burn for that day. And you might not even be there yet. So
I'm about to describe a meal that I used to eat tirelessly, just incessantly. I used to make this meal for me and my dad. It was just an all meat omelet. So we would go to the store and we would buy ham, turkey, salamis, different like summer sausages, whatever. You put it in the pan with some mushrooms and stuff, fry it up nice. Then I put 9 eggs in for myself, 3 in for my pops with cheese on top. And you just cook that up into like a big scrambled egg omelet. And the thing I wish I would have put on was avocados. I wish I would have known about avocados back in the day, because I did not eat those, but those would have been great. Like that's how much we ate.
Remember when you smashed my avocado?
Like I thought it was your avocado, man. You're the only one that I knew that was eating avocados. And I was feeling vindictive that day.
What happened? You took an avocado that was in your house. Granted, we did not live in the same house, and you're like, fuck, Kevin, smash this avocado.
That's the way
he likes avocado.
Ike was probably pissed.
Ike was like, you know, we got avocados for free, so it was kind of just one. It was not that big of a deal. Like I was more doing it because I knew how much Kevin liked avocados, and I knew that Kevin potentially bought his avocados. That's how much he liked avocados. So I just wanted to get at him. Like I wanted to actually stab him. You know?
Wow. Okay. Well, there's your Drake moment of the week. Anyway, so. It, in general, for that singular problem, as a high school kid, you have to literally, I mean, it's got to be a conscious thought. You have to eat a shitload. Back to kind of describing the difference between Drake and Kevin and me, as we've talked about, I hit puberty early, kind of grew and then stopped growing about the time where everybody else started to grow. So freshman year, I was already 5'10", 205 pounds, literally bigger than I am right now. Bad weight though. The body fat percentage was a much different ratio. And I unlike Kevin, I was probably closer to Drake in that I ate, you know, at the Kluver household, if you know my dad, Todd Kluver, we eat whatever, dude. Like I'm talking McDonald's, Arby's, Culver's.
Yeah. That's the problem is my mom tried to make me do better, but I just,
yeah.
You know,
we're talking Burger King. We're talking Taco John's.
I'm talking when Reese's put out the Reese's with caramel for that short amount of time where it was literally a Reese's. And because they were a new thing, they were always fresh. So it was the fresh peanut butter with a layer of fresh caramel on top. And I ate no less than 2.5 packs of those per day while they were out. No less.
The other, okay, and yeah, that's insane and sounds incredible. And then the other big thing for me in high school, I mean, I didn't know shit. And my genetics, again, probably a little bit worse than Kevin and Drake's, you know, diabetes runs in the fam. I was drinking, I'm not lying. I mean, this is probably nothing for some people, but I was drinking 3 or 4 cans of pop a day.
Well, let's talk about the Dew Olympics.
Well, I don't think that was a common thing for Kevin.
That was not a common thing. And it was Dew Fest. It wasn't the Dew Olympics.
Dew Fest.
So, you know what? Back in high school, to celebrate the end of the year, we'd have Dew Fest. And what do? We see who could drink the most Mountain Dew. I won.
Oh.
Twice.
With like
how many did you drink in an hour?
I think my junior year, which was my me defending my title, I drank 24 Mountain Dews.
That's
now it all came up during and after the event, but you know what? It's a test of will more so than, you know.
Yes, it is.
Stomach capacity.
But no, that is actually the only time I ever drank pop. I stopped drinking pop once I got into high school. I used to drink it a lot as a kid, but you know, I just kind of stopped.
Yeah. So
man, you get me anywhere near a McDonald's Coke dispenser?
Oh,
in high school, and I went ballistic,
dude. I mean, I'm talking all the Culver's root beer, all the McDonald's fountain Coke. I don't give a fuck, dude. Give me a keg of that.
That's literally why you looked like you did, dude.
Dude, I'm talking no less than 500 calories in pop a day for a very, very long time.
Can we fast forward to today? Like, I honestly believe pop is like almost as bad as for you as cigarettes.
It's damn
it seriously is.
That shit's so bad for you.
It's not good. Calorie wise, but then past that, the chemicals that they use, it's bad. If you
have a pop addiction and you're listening to this podcast, this is one thing you need to take out of it, is that you need to work on decreasing your pop intake because right. You're hurting yourself bad.
Yeah. I would eat, like, even to a kid that's trying to gain weight, don't do it with pop. It's going to be shitty weight, dude. You're going to feel horrible as well. But yeah, that was kind of my philosophy in high school. And so, you know, coming in freshman year at Iowa, we walked into Hillcrest, Kevin and Drake look pretty good. Now, I was also a weight room junkie. My dad was PE coach, or PE teacher, coach at the high school, had access to the weight room. I was in there since fifth grade. I would lift by myself. First one in my grade to ever touch a weight. I was always the strong guy, but that strength was just like, you know, he's the biggest kid. Like, he's strong. I wasn't cut or lean or anything. So Kevin and Drake looked pretty good freshman year. Tyler did not look good freshman year. And that's kind of where.
What'd you come in at? You came in at like 15 pounds heavier than you ended at, right?
No. I actually came in about 15 pounds less. I was 207 when I came in.
Didn't you bump up to like 230 at one point?
I was 230 my senior year of high school, which is when.
Oh, okay. That's what I was thinking of then.
I was 230. So right after.
That's absurd.
Dude, football season after senior year. Like, played our last football game of high school, walked off Southeast Polk's field, steroids, Southeast Polk on steroids. Anyway, don't use steroids to gain weight either, because
– Don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah. So, anyway, 228 pounds as a high schooler. And then that's when I found CrossFit. That's when I stopped drinking pop right around senior year basketball season. In conjunction with stopping the pop drinking and all the running during basketball and getting sick that winter, I lost about 25 pounds and was like 203. And that's, I gained a couple more pounds over the spring and I walked into Iowa at 207.
203 is what I came into Iowa at.
Yes, but I was like a fat 207. Like, I was probably 27% body fat, I think was my first number. What were you guys?
Yeah, I think I walked in on the campus. I was 197. Ooh, I don't remember my body fat. It's probably around 14 or 15.
So mine was crazy. Mine was under 10, and I was 203.
Drake was cut. Drake was extremely
cut.
Drake
was cut. Drake was
–
I was a swimmer. Like, I swam a ton, and then I didn't gain the weight back because I went straight into track.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was in the weight room grinding heavy, but then I was also doing swim practice and track practice, and I was leaning out.
Yeah. And so here's the
problem. We told this, you know, back when we were talking about Bohannon's hip, that spring right before I was not able to run until like 2 weeks before I got on campus that summer.
Yeah. Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify. One of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
So you come down to the campus and, you know, they do all this poking and prodding like your cattle, weigh you in, get your measurements, take your body fat. And then, you know, a couple of days later, they're going to come down and they're going to sit down with you. It's okay. This is where we're at. This is where we want you to be, you know, give you a target goal weight, target body fat percentage, all that stuff. And, they'll also do what's called
move your hand a little bit, Kevin. Yeah. There you go.
They'll do a kind of a meal report. They'll get you have like 3 days to you have to like kind of report everything that you eat. And they don't really give you any guidance at first. They just want to see what you eat normally. And they'll come back, you'll meet with one of your strength coaches and okay, let's see what you ate. And some guys like, okay, yeah, you make some good choices, try to add a little more calories, some protein, throw a shake in there or something. Other guys, it's like, what the fuck? You know, cross this out. Don't eat any more of that junk. Throw this out. Add in some good vegetables here and stuff.
I lied on mine and still got murked. That's how bad mine was.
Yeah. And here's the issue is Big Ten weight, rarely. I mean, I would almost say never, especially at Iowa. It's just going to be a diamond in the rough if some kid comes in and they're already not only at what Doyle wants their playing weight to be, but that weight is the right ratio of lean mass versus fat mass. It's just
it depends. You know, like skill players usually come in skinny and we try to beef them up. Same, you know,
with linemen
versus semis. Linemen sometimes,
occasionally.
Come in at the right weight or higher, but it's just not good weight.
It's sloppy.
So Doyle will walk them back down to like, say they come in at 310. It's like, no, we got to get you down to 280. Then we'll bring you back up the right way.
Yeah. And so how is that done? How is that something that Doyle can do with the program? What does that look like? Well, like Kevin said, for the skinny guys, it's a whole lot of basically eat everything that you could possibly eat, because those skinny guys, they're going to stay skinny guys. They're going to do most of the running, more than the semis, more than the line. Their metabolism is going to stay high. It's already naturally high because that's the kind of body type that they are. So for their 4 years on campus, however long they're there, the instruction for them is basically, if there's food in front of your face, eat it. Because there's no way that there's rarely a time when a skinny guy is going to come in and they're like, hey, you're too heavy to play in the Big Ten. You know, like, can you even remember any examples of that? Maybe a couple. I mean,
the only guy that really comes to mind, I don't think they didn't make him lose weight until like his junior year. I think but LaShawn Daniels, like, came in like Big Ten. Right?
That's actually a great example.
But see, that is one of those freak examples. Like, you just don't find people built like LaShawn. They just don't come around very often. But,
yeah.
No, right.
For the skinny guys, the snacking that Kluver was talking about, like, you just eat. You want to choose things that are high in those fats that he was talking about, because you get more calories out of it. So like your nuts and avocados and things like that are actually healthy fats. That's where you can get a lot of calories in, like, in empty spaces.
And protein. Generally the healthy fats will give you, you know, easy calories, calorie dense foods, almonds, nuts, seeds, stuff like that. cook your stuff in olive oil, stuff like that. Proteins are obviously, everyone knows what builds muscle. They, you know, that's what's going to put and help rebuild your muscles. A huge part of gaining weight and turning, you know, just the program in general is the weight program. So lifting weights, and this is going to come to a shock to a lot of you, I know. If you want to lose a lot of weight, lift heavy weights, all right? Don't just go and make your only thing that you do running, okay? You might lose weight. It's going to be harder because just simply running at a steady state heart rate is not going to lose you as much weight as putting yourself under, you know, an 80%+ load of
doing it a lot of times.
A squat. So, yeah, go Kev.
Yeah. I got a, you know, kind of a personal anecdote here. So I'm doing powerlifting right now.
Yeah.
Well, I was doing powerlifting right now.
Sure.
Until they closed the gyms because
coronavirus.
Anyway. So powerlifting, lifting high amounts of weight, low repetitions. I am starving. These days because, well, I was, because those are very, very calorically intense workouts. Post, you know, corona count or during the corona, gym's closed regardless, can't go work out of the gym. So I'm like, fuck it, I guess I'll go run one day. I ran like 4 miles. Anyway, I was not nearly as hungry after like the long distance endurance workouts as I ever was after a lifting workout.
Of course. And so here's why that is because when you're physiologically, this is how this works. You get under a squat bar at 80% of whatever your max is. It doesn't really matter. Say that if you actually sat down and did a max day, you come out with a 300-pound squat max. So you go in and you do a 80% lift at 240 pounds, which is 80%, and you squat that for 5 to 7 reps. That is going to be difficult, all right? For a lot of people, you know, 5 to 7 reps at 80% or higher. A lot of times we would do 85% for 5, kind of a running joke.
Gun to your head,
85 for 5. You should be able to hit 85% of your max for 5. makes one a puke.
There were a lot of mornings where he'd have pulled the trigger on me.
Oh yeah. Anyway, when you,
I didn't survive a couple of those days either. Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be squat. It could be anything. It could literally be a bicep curl, 80% of your bicep curl, an RDL, a fucking Russian twist. I don't care what it is. If you're heavy resistance training, your body physiologically responds in a way that, oh shit, I have a ton of weight in my hands or on my back. So what do I need to do? What does your DNA tell your body to do?
Got to increase the heart rate. And
it gets bigger. It sheds the fat, and it builds the muscle, which is going to be the more beneficial tissue for you to lift that weight in the future. Because your body's essentially like, well, if this is what we're doing, then we got to change ourselves up a little bit so that we're prepared for this. Here's the other thing: the more muscle you put on your body. Muscle and lean tissue is what burns the fat. That's what burns. Mm-hmm. That's what burns the weight. So the more muscle you have, the higher metabolism you have, actually, is how that works. Now, of course, you see a bunch of runners. They go out and run a shitload of miles. Good for them. They're probably not eating a whole lot. And there's also, you know, the whole high intensity of exercising with weights and resistance training and HIIT training is you build that heart rate up, you let it drop a little bit. Those spikes and valleys of heart rate are also what kind of throws your fat burning into a hyperdrive, if there was.
Increases your hormones. And
yeah. Oh yeah. The, you know, when you're under heavy weight or you pick up a shitload of weight on a deadlift, the testosterone in the natural human growth hormone that is produced by your body spikes way up. Again,
that's a huge thing in football weight gain is if you want to get your weight up, get your lower body strength up. And with lower body strength, you keep working that, getting that stronger. Your body's going to have a hormone response. It's impossible not to. So you just combine that with all the extra food. And that's one of the keys.
So as far as, and I don't want to harp too much on it, but that's kind of how gaining weight works, how losing weight works. For those that are like, I mean, it goes back to that old thing, like any woman who thinks that like lifting weights is going to make them bulky and not going to help them lose weight, you're completely wrong. All the girls that you see out there or guys that you see out there that look good in a swimsuit, they lift weights. That's what they do. Women's bodies are genetically built to look differently under resistance training stress than men's are. It's just the way it is. Now, back to the food portion of it, I kind of want to talk about the training table opportunities, the nutrition station opportunities that we had at Iowa. We've mentioned it before, so I won't go into a ton of detail. There's essentially nothing we didn't have access to. And all of the food was good, right? So I will say this. There's a difference between what you get at the complex for half of your meals, you know, maybe more than half of your meals, and then what you make yourself outside of the complex for your other half of your meals. And I think
what Poncheros makes for you.
Right. A great example of this is Kevin versus me. Kevin ate very clean outside of the complex. He was often a guy who, you know, he had his eggs, he had his avocado toast, liberal as fuck.
Avocado toast is delicious, okay? And just because I'll never be able to buy a home because of it doesn't mean I regret it.
You know, he was always having his good meals. He would make he would often make just chicken breast and rice and broccoli, or
sometimes dadded it up and cooked for all of us.
Sometimes he would make a meal for the whole house. You know, he's a provider. Kevin is a provider, and that's why I am so surprised that he's still single. Now, that doesn't have anything to do with
the word family, a family full of providers and successful people.
Right.
Kevin, he just may not reproduce, you know?
Wow. Anyway, so Kevin and I would eat, well, that's not true. At the complex, you know, you're still going to have your healthier or your less healthy options with the meals that we would get for training
table. There is usually a dessert at every training table.
And usually your guy was grabbing that dessert. Now,
and you know, I smashed about 5 cookies every time Grace brought them.
Oh my God, it was ridiculous. I would be sick to my stomach and I'd still be eating them because I was addicted to it. I, on the other hand, when I was not eating training table or something from the refueling station, Jack's Pizza.
Big Jack's Pizza guy.
Huge.
Prez is not a big fan.
I know, because they didn't fucking send him a pizza. Jack's Pizza, one of my favorites. You give me a sausage Jack's Pizza, I could probably eat 3 of them.
and the typical Kluver move, opens it up. Nah, it's not enough cheese. Goes in the fridge, takes out like half a bag of shredded cheese. Yep. Adds more cheese.
Add a half bag of shredded mozzarella cheese on top of your Jack's Pizza before you cook it in the oven. Now, that's neither here nor there. Hamburger Helper. Huge Hamburger Helper guy.
That's a Kulik family staple, man.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to grow up to be like me, which you shouldn't, but if you do, Hamburger Helper and lots of it.
What else did I eat, Kevin?
You made goulash a couple times.
Goulash, big-time pasta guy. Love pasta. Kevin and I, we lived on Benton. Half a mile, maybe less distance than that from Poncheros. McDonald's, huge Culver's guy, still am a huge Culver's guy. All of it.
I would say I averaged about 1 Poncheros burrito a week.
Yeah.
You ate more than that, Kevin.
Probably more.
It's possible.
Dude, 1 was a snack, 2 was a meal. So that means.
Yeah, but I didn't get it every week, though. So when I got it for a meal, I'd get 2.
Saying that in a 7-day period where there's 35 opportunities to eat, you didn't eat Poncheros more than once? You think you're only batting 3?
Kevin was pretty good about it.
Well, you also got to think, football provided 3 meals a day, basically.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm not lying. I ate out once a day, dude. In college, I had to. I was burning too many calories. I needed more. I ate so much Culver's. It was disgusting.
So amazing.
Drake, you never really cooked, did you?
No.
I would make a lot of dinners, like for stuff like that when we weren't getting all the stuff. But in reality, dude, I was just looking for a lunch or like a snack and in between classes. I'm not cooking. Screw it.
Now, I would say, yeah. So that's kind of how that went at home. Now, when we had stuff at the complex, oh, by the way, I was going to say, I feel like now looking back, hindsight 2020, we should have gone to Zio Giano's more. I loved
Zio Giano's. I went to Zio Giano's a few times.
Yeah, it was really good. Anyway, So two kind of types of food at the complex. So you have your catered meals, which would be in the team room, or you have what's available down in the weight room, which was a pretty vast array. So
robust selection.
Yeah. So in the weight room, there's a big like counter. It's almost literally like a bar. Behind the bar, there was two industrial sized refrigerators that opened from the front for the people to grab stuff out of. And in the back, it literally connected to a storage room. It's like the freaking gas station where the beer, you can go back behind where you stock the beer. They would stock like 8 different kinds of protein shakes. They would stock little applesauce cups, fruit cups.
Rank your top 5 protein shakes.
Parfaits. There was cheese sticks. There was beef jerky. There was a bunch of protein bars. On the dry shelf section, there was fruit. There was, at all times, 100% of the time, the interns for the strength staff would have like custom high-calorie smoothies made for you. You could pick between an apple berry or a chocolate peanut butter or sometimes
Team Appleberry.
Or a beet smoothie. I was a big beet guy. Helps with the blood flow. I mean, what else was there, guys? Help me out. There was energy chews.
Sandwiches.
I lived off Gatorade gummies for a solid semester.
There was like three types of sandwiches in there as well.
Oh, yeah. So we hit a deal with Witch where they would bring us sandwiches like at the beginning of the week, enough to last us.
Red Pep.
And red pepper. They would bring us cold meat sandwiches. So you had like turkey. You had all of your cold meat sandwich, you know, ham. You had all these options. You could basically, if you wanted to,
eat. You would never had to buy food.
Never had to buy food. Never had to buy food.
If you wanted to.
That's just that.
You've had to get used to eating the same thing over and over again.
Right.
But like for a lunch, that's cool. Like we did eat a lot of those.
There was bags of like.
I mean, so yeah. So that'd be like, you know, you finish up practice at 11 o'clock and you got to run to class and you got another class after it. That'd be the move, is grab a couple sandwiches, some shakes, and some cheese sticks, and that'd be your lunch in between classes.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side of that, that was all just in the weight room. That's 100% of the time. Now, 2 catered meals a day. Generally, it was breakfast and dinner, right? So breakfast was always going to be after morning lifts, morning practice, or whatever. You grab breakfast. Dinner was always going to be after meetings or team activities that we had at night. So that would range from, I don't know, for breakfast, we got the whole array of it. Omelets, pancakes.
The omelet bars were an absolute hit.
Yeah, omelet, pancakes, yogurt, bacon, breakfast sandwiches, hash browns. What else?
The whole thing, dude.
I mean, everything. Anything you could ask. Muffins. Do you know how many muffins I ate from Hy-Vee?
Yeah, we talked about it, dickhead. We talked about all the muffins that you
all
took.
Of the fucking muffins I ate.
So you're also forgetting about, like, during the season when we have early morning meetings. So meetings start at, like, 6:30. There's a refueling station at 6 a.m. You're supposed to get – they have, like, little breakfast sandwiches and oatmeal and stuff, and you're supposed to eat that before. Then you go to meetings, practice. Then you come back. Then there's breakfast. Then you grab your refueling stuff before you go to classes, eat your lunch from the refueling station. Then you come back for meetings. Then there's dinner.
And if you say you're not a breakfast person, fuck you. You need to become a breakfast person if you want to be a competitive athlete.
Yeah, like, dude.
I ate so much oatmeal.
Let's just say this. If you want to be a competitive, like, high-level D1, you know, maybe even D2 athlete, and you want to, like, seriously fuel your body and you're playing a lot of – you burn a lot of calories, you're eating 4 meals a day. 4 meals a day.
Snacks in there and then shakes. Can we talk about the shakes?
Let's talk about the shakes.
We gotta give these people the top 5 protein shakes so they know what to get.
Okay. Well,
number one, RIP in peace.
You gotta RIP.
RIP, man.
Gatorade and a can shake.
Yep. The old school. It was literally like it was just this old school black label Gatorade G on the side, chocolate. Chocolate nutrition shake is, I think, what they called
it.
That's
what they were called. Yeah. And they were awesome.
They tasted like chocolate heaven in your mouth, dude.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Go. Yes, I'm going to say, do we all agree that's number one?
That's number one for sure.
Okay. Number two, I'm going to go with Rock and Refuel.
Okay. My number two is going to be Synthesis 6 for sure. Okay.
The six is a powder.
Well, they make refuel shakes too. They make shakeable ones too.
But we didn't have those there.
Well, I mean, we had Syntha 6, though, so I'm just going off of...
Now, we got to keep it to what we had in the, at the fueling station.
I'm going straight up with the Fairlife chocolate milks at number two for me, and I drank a fuck ton of them.
But, okay, if you wanted to count that as a shake...
It had the protein that the other ones did.
Absolutely did.
It did. So, okay, I'll concede that the Fairlife chocolate milks...
So if I can't have Syntha 6, then I'm going to go with the Core 42 vanilla because they were super easy to drink. And, I mean, 42 grams of protein with very few carbs, that's a hitter.
And you know what, Drake, you were just leading into me. Number three, the drink that took Kevin from a DB to a linebacker. He drank five of them a day, the vanilla Core 42s.
Now, I like
and
the vanilla.
I'm not lying. I drank five of them a day.
Yeah, and I drank five of those Fairlifes a day to put on 30 pounds during pro day training.
When did you drink them? I drank them as soon as I woke up.
Yep, you wake up.
During the lift.
The lift. Okay, so yeah.
So did you psychos do the pre-lift protein when
No, dude. I couldn't.
Some days I did, some days I didn't.
So, Kev, for me it was when I woke up, one with each meal. And then one when I went to bed.
Okay. So I did my fourth one was right before I went to bed. My fifth one is in the middle of the night because I always had to wake up and take a piss.
You're a psycho. I would actually have a sixth sometimes, which would be like, it wouldn't be a Fairlife, but I would drink a protein shake after the workout if we had one. So it was between five or six a day. Yeah, those Core 42s and the chocolate ones I even like too because they tasted a little bit like dark chocolate. It was a little bit of a chemically taste too.
Definitely a chemically dark chocolate.
Yeah, but I liked it.
Are we on number three or four? We're on number three.
That was my number three.
Give me strawberries and cream from just the normal
Muscle milk. Muscle milk's number four. Let's go.
Muscle milk, strawberries, and cream is my number three.
I couldn't even tell you. I only drank the other three. I really stayed pretty true. Oh, I guess the you remember the Gatorade ones that were kind of like in an orange and gray plastic?
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof. Did not like those.
I liked those.
Those were ass.
Did not like those.
I don't even know if number, there's a fifth.
Number five, I guess you could count the Core 26s. They weren't the same. They did taste a little different than the 42s.
I'm going to go – so my number four would probably be Fairlife, and my number five would be banana of the Core 42. Or Core 26. Core 26.
So Rock and Refuel didn't make either of your top fives, huh?
I did not like Rock and Refuel.
So the Rock and Refuel strawberry was honestly tremendous, but I already put strawberry from the normal one in there because I think – I don't know, man. I think – Muscle milk was a little, it was just not as sweet. I don't know. Core 40, or I mean the Rock and Refuels were good though.
They were a yummy little treat.
They were a treat.
But I think once Fairlife came around, like Core 42, or not, gosh, I keep saying that, the Rock and Refuel became a, like.
Yeah. So once we started getting those Fairlifes, it was just Fairlife and Core 42. And they're the same company too.
Right. Yeah.
That's all that's in the fridges these days.
Any other things you want to touch on, major food stuff, before we move on to just some like rapid fire questions from the Twitter?
I mean,
take vitamins every day.
You don't have to take vitamins if you have a very well-rounded diet, but it's very hard to have a very well-rounded diet.
Agreed.
I told myself for the past 10 years I need to take fish oil since I don't like fish and I don't eat fish. I still haven't done it.
Yeah.
See, I take a daily vitamin fish oil every day, and I feel like I eat decent. I take greens every day too, but I just overload on vitamins because your body, if you're pissing out vitamins, who cares? Like, I just mean your body has everything that it needs, and you just don't want to skimp on that because starts with your body having the right base of vitamins.
I'm kind of a hypocrite because if I were to recommend a you know, some general stuff, it would be to eat whole foods and fruits and vegetables. But I don't like fruits and vegetables. So what I do is I take a greens powder. For those that fucking have seen me, I'm pretty cut and I'm a pretty lean guy nowadays. I don't eat a goddamn vegetable. I don't remember the last time I ate a vegetable or a fruit. A banana occasionally. I like peaches too, but
I can't remember a single green thing ever going in your mouth.
Yeah. I always drank the beet smoothies, which were pretty fruit and veggie filled, but yeah, I just still don't eat it. So every day I take 2 fish oil and some greens powder. And then every once in a while I'll take a protein powder, but that's more of like a meal replacement. If I'm just like, fuck it, I'll just drink a protein shake for a meal. And then also best food for a high schooler that's like so easy other than milk and protein powder is peanut butter. It's delicious.
I love calories.
You can use it a lot of different ways and it's got a ton of calories. So just eat tubs of peanut butter and you'll gain weight. Let's do some rapid fire and then let's close this thing up. I actually didn't think this would last this long, but what types of food did they suggest you cut out of your diet altogether? When did you start to buy into the fact that nutrition was just as important as the workouts you were doing? It's a good question.
Just don't eat fast food.
So they were real big on like no pop, no fast food. I would say that. Any others?
Yeah, no pop, no fast food. You know, like the guys who just could not gain weight, they just say, like, just please eat something.
Yeah, they were honestly begging them to put anything in their mouth. I would say I really bought into nutrition when I started drinking the beet smoothies with a bunch of veggies in them over the summer of 2015. And it was a few other factors that started to make me feel better physically too. But that year really clicked a lot of things for me in the program. And so like, I would say 2015, I actually started to, that was the year of the hard bod. With Kevin and I, we actually started doing smoothies every night in the spring of 2015.
That spring?
And we would do push-ups, pull-ups and sit-ups in the living room every night. And, got pretty shredded up that semester.
I said, fucking year of the hard bod. That's why we went 12-0 that year.
Yeah. And then the next year was year of the harder bod. And then the following year was the year of the soft bod because.
No. It was the final ride. 2017 was the final ride. Then right. 2018 is when we got a little chubby.
Right. What about you guys? When did you buy
it? I mean, you kind of alluded to it. I never really changed my diet a whole lot over the course of my 5 years until like I became a linebacker. I just had to eat more of everything, but you know, I always had a pretty clean diet for the most part.
I like to eat a little junk food, but I knew how important it was to eat the stuff that Coach Doyle was talking about.
Like, yeah, Doyle harps on it right away. And like, he basically knows everything. He's not going to bullshit you. So you kind of should listen right away. I was a dumbass, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they do like a body fat percentage test, like twice a year, make sure that you're staying,
yeah,
you know, where you're supposed to be at and stuff. So they do a pretty good job making sure you're on it.
We missed a huge topic here and it was like kind of going over the game meals, which were some of the best meals. Maybe we'll touch on that right at the end, but I want to answer some more questions first. Off the top of your head, who always ate the most? It had to be one of the linemen. I mean, the linemen would just – Ike ate so much.
Ike ate so much food.
He still eats so much.
He's just a massive – he's just a moosive boy.
Moosive. Does the training table meal system still operate during the summer? And if not, are the players given stipend for groceries? So the groceries is factored into the scholarship check if you're on it. However, the training table situation and the weight room food that we went over, it's all year. It's 365. So yeah, there's never really a day where you should go hungry. Do you get an ice cream sundae bar like the basketball team? So again, back to the game meals every night. And Mark Wiseman tried to take this away from us.
And why? See,
and you know what, Mark? You're a cuck.
I voted Mark Wiseman my favorite number 45 of all time because he should be yours as well.
But his that decision was questionable.
That was bullshit by Mark to try to do that.
I did not know Mark tried to take away our ice cream.
Oh, heavy.
We're trying to take away our Friday night ice cream.
I get it. That's probably not your best thing to eat the night before a game, but you can't eliminate the feel-good psychology part of it. You just can't. Because there's nothing better than finishing up meetings for the night after you've been in meetings literally all day. I shit you not. You are in 8 hours of meetings on Fridays before a game. And after you finish up your last meetings at 9 o'clock at night, it's like, I just want some ice cream. I want my oatmeal raisin cookie. I'm just going to sit at the table and just enjoy being some nice quiet for a little bit. And that's it. Then you go to bed feeling good about yourself.
Yeah. So
I had a very unhealthy pre
routine
that I don't need to speak about at the nutrition episode, but I would have been devastated without the ice cream part of my night.
I would estimate that the calories between the dinner that was at 6 p.m. and the snack that was at 9 p.m. every night before a game, between those two pieces, I was probably consuming no less than 2,500, probably 3,000 calories just in that three-hour span. That didn't include anything I ate prior to the day. So on Fridays before games, Tyler Kluver was probably eating 5,000 plus calories a day.
There's no doubt. So the person I saw that was the most impressive was Brady Ross. Nobody could out-eat Brady Ross in a Friday burger contest if he wanted to.
So Brady's game was Friday night.
In some instances, but like, I don't know, man. So, probably put down – I think he said he could put down 10 burgers, he thought.
Just eat burgers, dude.
Oh, God. So there was ice cream and cookies, but there was also, like, you could have a burger or a chicken sandwich or something like that. And some of the backup offensive linemen would sometimes have a cheeseburger eating contest.
Yeah.
So my brother said he ate, like, 5 cheeseburgers one night.
Yeah, so – I'm a dumbass now thinking back to this. I don't know why I did this, but my routine, this was 9 p.m. by the way. And oftentimes it was closer to 9:30 because people would get out of meetings late. So it's 9:30. Okay. You're in bed. All right. Fans are in bed because it's big time tailgate time tomorrow. The boys are just getting out of meetings and they're about to go have a full meal. They offered burger bar and chicken sandwich bar with cheese and condiments. And for some reason, I would get one burger, one slice of cheddar cheese, no bun, a little bit of ketchup on top. I'd eat that, and then I'd go back for ice cream. And when I tell you that I would stuff the biggest holder that they would give us, whether it was a cup or a bowl, with the most ice cream, hot fudge, and caramel that you could possibly put in that thing, I was stuffing it. And oftentimes, I would get another round to take up to my room. Incredible. You're muted, Drake. I can't hear what you're saying, Drake.
Oh, I was muted. I was saying that you were a sloppy bastard, but you're the ice cream champ until Bo actually dethrones you. I think I might be able to out-eat you in ice cream now, but not back then.
There was
no contest.
Yeah. The meal for the games was actually – I mean, it was all out. It was salad bar, you know, I mean, just a fucking cauldron of cottage cheese. Then you had like your bread, you know, there was rolls, you had pasta, there was a meat sauce or just a regular marinara sauce. And if you're smart, you put a little honey mustard over it. Marshall Kane taught me that.
There was one away game. I don't remember when, don't remember where. Where the hotel did not put out honey mustard.
Oh,
and half the team went ballistic.
Dude, I was pissed. Not happy. Now, other than your
– put out honey mustard with the Iowa football team.
Dude, honey mustard or cottage cheese. If you don't show up and you're serving the Iowa football team and you don't show up with honey mustard or cottage cheese, you just signed your fucking death warrant, buddy. You're going to the grave. Now, there was steak. You could get – I'm pretty sure – like a meat
medium rare or medium well.
You could get medium rare or medium well. So there was two options on the steak. There was
and the
also
people who chose the medium well ones are the type of people that you don't associate with.
Right. They're wrong.
You're associating with one right now.
Yeah, we figured you're like Bo. Then there was a chicken option. Steak,
you fucking bastard.
There was a chicken option.
I choose my steak medium if I can get it, but I couldn't, and I don't like my shit bloody, you know?
Oh,
stay away from that time of the month.
Wow. And so then after all that,
all the flavor is, dude.
Oh, there was also baked potatoes. You could build your own baked potato as well. Sweet potato. And then there was a bunch of – there's like corn, green beans, and then there's some
rice as well.
Yeah, and rice as well. And so it was just everything you could possibly want. Let's see. Players eat a lot of chicken. Yeah, you eat a lot of chicken. Chicken is like – I don't it's
you eat in both forms. You eat a lot of eggs and you eat a lot of chicken breasts. The Iowa football team murders a lot of chickens.
And good for them for doing it. We considered getting a chicken coop in our backyard in Menton.
We did, actually. Yeah, it was like we tried to figure out if, you know, how many chickens we would need to get enough eggs.
It was bullshit. The ordinance on chickens, you can only have 6 chickens.
It was like, that's not nearly enough chickens.
Right.
We need 20 chickens to feed ourselves.
Yeah. That's way too many. How many chickens is too much chicken? Oh, man, this is good. This is going to shit real fast. So that's kind of – if you guys have any more, like I'm sure over the course of this podcast you had other things come up. On the food, tweet the Wash Up Walk-Ons account or at me. Don't bother Drake and Kevin because they don't like social media, but all of us. Yeah, Drake doesn't have a phone because he fucking probably ran over it with his car.
You tweeting right now, by the way?
Oh, I just have a laptop because I have to be able to check DMs. So, like, you know, right. I do.
Sliding in the DMs. So, now,
okay.
What do you got, Kev?
I got nothing. I don't want to go into it.
Sounds good. We have an actual guest that you guys will love listening to lined up for Sunday. Hopefully we have two for next week. Allegedly we have guests. Now, again, you can really never hold us to anything.
It's
been a shitty 3 weeks to a month of this podcast. At least it feels like it from our end because we've been scrapping together episodes. And I had a great suggestion from a guy on Twitter. He said, and I know this, this isn't us, but it's maybe potentially good for a filler episode. And I want the fans who are still here to give us their opinion.
I don't think there's a whole lot of fans still listen to this episode, to be honest.
No, there's not. But if we ever have an episode where there's nothing new to talk about with football and we can't get a guest on in the off season, this guy suggested we do our top 5 or top 10 blank of Hawkeye football. It could be literally anything. I think he suggested like top 5. It would literally be like top 5 games you ever played in, top 5 hardest workouts we ever had, top 5 this, top 5 that, top 5 favorite meals, top 5 places to go.
We could
would fill a ton of time. We could do like 20 or 30 minute episodes as a filler, and it would actually kind of be cool because people would understand like what were some of the best of moments of our career. Give us some top 5 topics that we could potentially do, or top 10 topics. Other than that, Kevin has, you know, some things to take care of, and Drake has also some things to take care of, and I also have things to take care of, and I'm not alluding to anything.
And we're going to take care of some things.
We have to take care of some things because we live an adult life, and we make, you know,
decisions.
Right. You know, some people have to provide for their families, and that's what you have to do. And some
people don't have families.
Some people don't have families and it's tough for them, you know. Wow, that's it. 116 of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
This podcast is gonna die soon.
Yeah, we're going down right down the fucking drain right now. And
RIP in peace.
RIP in peace. Peace out, walk-ons.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.